Chapter 23. Stiles really has no idea how to go about telling his father about all the things he's found, and especially how deep he's gotten into this mystery. After a few days to contemplate, he makes him a file. It's in a manila folder, like a police file would be. It has the different murders listed, with all the connections between them highlighted. At the end, he puts in a single sheet about the contracting company and their employees at the time of the Hale House fire. He leaves it on his father's desk while he's out of his office with a post-it note on it that says, "Please read," then tells Angie he has a stomachache and goes home. It's 2 hours later, and he's in the middle of a rousing round of Plants vs. Zombies when he hears the door open downstairs. There's some shuffling downstairs, then he hears his father's boots. He tries to assume an innocent expression as his father comes through the door holding the folder. "Don't even try with that look. I stopped believing it when you were 4. "Yeah, I guess that's probably true," Stiles says, rubbing a hand over the back of his head. He pauses the computer game and swings around in his chair so he's straddling it backwards. Tom leans his shoulder against the wall. "You want to tell me how you came by all this information?"
"Oh, a variety of places," Stiles says. "You know, Alaska, Kansas."
"Uh-huh." The folder taps against his thigh. "And people in these places just offered this information up?"
"I said pretty please," Stiles says hopefully.
"What else did you say?" His father gives him a stern look.
"You know, I just had a thought," Stiles says. "I figure that you already know exactly what I did, but if I don't have to actually admit to it, you won't have any knowledge that a crime took place. And since you're the sheriff and all, that's probably for the best, right?"
"How about you tell me what you did so when or if people call back, I don't look like an idiot and I can cover up for my son who's been a bad boy?" Tom says it like he's chiding a 3-year-old. Then he holds the folder up. "This is some nice work, though." Stiles immediately turns pink and beams like it's Christmas.
I had some help with it. Peter. He found some leads. I'm not exactly sure how he found all of them, and in some cases it seemed smarter not to ask."
"Most likely for the best. You want to come downstairs so we can spread all this out?" Stiles raises a finger, then gets his stack of poster boards out of the closet. "How about, he says, starting to tack them up in their usual places. "How about I go get us something to drink while you, look all this stuff over?" Tom's eyes go a little wide. "Or you could do that." He moves fully into the room and is already examining the boards as a whole. Stiles lets out a sigh of relief, since his father doesn't seem about to yell at him, and jogs down the stairs. He takes his time making up his dad's coffee the way he knows he likes it, with way too much sugar, because it's going to take him a while to get through all the information. Then he gets a soda for himself and heads back up to his room. Tom takes the coffee and says, "So why bring this to me now?"
"'Cause you're the sheriff?" Stiles says, and his father gives him an unimpressed look.
"And because we've hit some dead ends, we know Kate started the fire, but we can't figure out how she did it, so we can't prove it. All our evidence is circumstantial." "The fire inspector is in on it somehow, right? That investigation was too fast. I'm no expert, but..."
"Yeah, right. Over here."
Stiles hefts out a poster and props it up against his bed. "It's not finished yet. See, he went to college with Gerard Argent, so he might have done it as a favor, or he might have been bribed. I'm stuck on this one, and..." He fidgets uncomfortably. "I can't get Peter's help on it. If I tell him the guy was involved and give him the name..."
"Yes?" Tom frowns. "Wait, what did he..." "You know what? Don't tell me."
Stiles presses his lips together into a thin line. I won't lie to you, Dad. He's going to kill her, Kate. It's a miracle he hasn't killed her already."
"Hell," he thinks privately, It's a miracle that Kate hasn't killed him for repeatedly telling him that he couldn't. I keep telling him to wait, that if we can find proof, he can claim pack protection and he won't get in trouble, but his patience is wearing kind of thin, and, you know, Peter... Tom sighs and sits down on Stiles' bed. Get him to wait. He pinches the bridge of his nose. Because the truth is, I'd really hate to help put him in jail for something I think he has a right to do. Because if anyone did that to you, I wouldn't be long on patience either. Yeah. Stiles isn't sure what to say about his father saying he'd commit murder if anything happened to him. He shoves those thoughts away. He'd be willing to kill, too. He is willing to kill. He had known full well when he told Peter about Kate that he was going to kill her. That doesn't make him a murderer, but it certainly makes him an accomplice to one. And the truth is, he knows that Peter wouldn't end up in jail. He has a strong suspicion that Peter doesn't plan to live long after he takes care of Kate, and he doesn't know what to do about that, either. In Peter's shoes, he can't say that he would do any differently. Finally, he clears his throat and says, I'm working on him. But the point is, I can't give him information about the fire inspector, or else he'll try to, get information out of him, and I don't think it would end well. Right. Well, a bribe is more likely than a favor, because who actually likes someone else enough to help cover up a murder? Not many people. He sips his coffee. Greedy, though. Money is a damned good motivator. I know, right? But I can't exactly demand financial records. Stiles clears his throat. Well, I could, but I figured I had pretended to be you enough already, and I think you need a warrant for shit like that. But I'm afraid if we get a warrant, it'll tip the guy off that we're onto him, and... ugh, I don't know how to handle it. You let me look into it. I know how to do things discreetly. Okay. Stiles lets out a sigh of relief. And I know you don't know a lot about arson, but how did she start the fire? She can't have gotten too close to the house. They would have smelled or heard her. But the guy who put in the accelerant couldn't have left a trail of it outside. 6 months went by. It would have washed away. And he didn't put anything else in the house. Like an explosive device or a wiring problem, so how could she have set the fire from a distance? And if it was from a distance, why did she have to be near the house at all so Peter could smell her trail as he got home? Well, it's possible she was there to watch her handiwork, especially if there were supposed to be no survivors. He looks at the information on the fire that's clustered on one poster. Is there an actual point of ignition in all this crap? And more importantly, can we trust it? Yes to the first, no to the second, Stiles says. The point of ignition is given as the faulty circuit, but since we know it wasn't an electrical fire... Tom is quiet for a few moments. Why don't we get a second opinion? Get a new arson investigator to take a look at the photos and what little evidence has been saved. Worst thing that'll happen is nothing will come of it. Yeah, I guess, Stiles says. I don't think there's a lot left, though, and I don't know what of the reports we can trust, since this lying asshole had his hands all over them. Some of them might be fudged. Well, you've pulled a lot from very little. Are you telling me you don't want a chance to see what someone honest will find, even if it isn't much? No, it's a good idea, Stiles says. I guess I'm just worried it'll get back to them somehow. Everyone knows how sensitive the Hales are about the fire. It'll be kept quiet. I'll make sure of it. I'm not worried about the Hales finding out, geez, Stiles says. I'm worried about the Argents finding out. You know, the bad guys. Tom gives his son a look. It's called reopening a case, and we don't want anyone to know. I don't like people that have problems with werewolves in my department. You know that. Yeah, I know, but can we just maybe send it out somewhere? Like, arson investigators are us or something? Tom lets out a snort despite himself. Tell you what. How about I remove the identifying info, send it to a buddy out of state, and ask him to have his arson guy take a look at it. Would that make you feel better? Stiles breathes out a sigh of relief. Yeah, definitely. Sorry, I guess I'm a little paranoid about all of this. These people are really fucking scary. The sheriff nods, considering his son seriously. Is there anything else you want to share with me? No, Stiles says. I think this, he adds, gesturing to the posters, just about covers it. Uh-huh. Tom folds his arms over his chest. Do you know who I am? Yes, sir, you would be one Thomas Stilinski, Sheriff of Beacon Hills, purveyor of all that is just and fair in the universe. More than that, Tom says, waving his hand impatiently, though I will remember you said that. I'm your father, so I'm fairly certain that I know you. That being said, is there anything else you want to share with me? Stiles frowns, clearly deep in thought. Then he says, Nope, I'm good, really. Okay, Tom says, cutting him off. Now is when you sit yourself down and tell me what you haven't told me yet. Because I know you, and you're leaving things out. Things that scare you. So get talking, son, and stay on topic, because you aren't leaving this room until I know what's going on. What is this, like a reverse filibuster? Stiles asks, but he sits down on the edge of the bed anyway. Some of the information, you're not gonna like how I got it, and it's got nothing to do with Peter being crazy or me pretending to be a law enforcement officer. No, his father says in an even measured tone. I didn't think it was either of those things. Stiles rubs a hand over the back of his head. See, I sort of met Kate Argent, and she may possibly have asked me to spy on the Hales for her, and I might sort of have agreed to do it because I wanted to know what she was up to, and hypothetically I might be meeting her 2 or 3 times every week so I can stay plugged into the WLO. There's a long moment of silence. Then Tom sits down next to him, rubbing a hand over his face. You don't do things halfway, do you, kid? Nope. Stiles pulls a knee up to his chest. I keep hoping she'll let it slip, what she wants from me. I'm so scared that she's going to hurt them and I won't figure it out in time. Tom reaches out and half wraps his arm around Stiles' shoulders in a hug. He knows all sorts of things he could normally say in a situation like this, but those words are for adults who signed up for dangerous undercover work, who know the risks, who have training. They're not for his 17-year-old son, and he knows better than to ask Stiles to stop. That would only create a barrier between them, which is the last thing he wants right now. Stiles, you're one of the smartest people I know. I'm sure you're smarter than Kate Argent. You'll stay ahead of her. I hope you're right, Stiles says with a sigh. He glances over at his father and adds, somewhat warily, Are you mad? I'm less angry than the time you and Scott snuck off to drink in the woods and then tried to convince me that you had the flu the next morning so I wouldn't think you had a hangover, Tom says, giving his son a look. Stiles gives a little wince. Not one of my finer moments, I'll admit. But that's not, no, I'm not mad, is it? Stiles, you're my son, and I don't like it when you put yourself in danger any more than you like it when I'm in danger. I like it even less when I'm not in the loop. First there was school, now this. Tom shakes his head a little. I am proud of you for bringing this to me, but you didn't intend to tell me this part about Kate. There have been far too many secrets lately, and I really think they need to stop. Yeah, Stiles says. You think this is bad. I can't even imagine what Derek will say about it. Holy shit. Tom shakes his head a little. He can't say he's surprised that his son hasn't told Derek about this, despite his deep misgivings about the idea. Good luck to you on that score. You'll need it. Yeah, Stiles makes a face at him. Oh, speaking of scores, can I skip office duty on Wednesday? Allison has an archery tournament, and Scott and I were going to go cheer her on. Sure, his father says. She any good at it? Yeah, she says she's done it since she was a little girl. Her Stiles' voice trails off, and Tom gives him a questioning look. Her dad taught her, and Kate. He bites his lip. You remember that Robin Hood movie with Kevin Costner? The one completely saved by Alan Rickman as the evil sheriff? Tom asks and laughs. Yeah, been a while. Why? Do you think that fire arrow thing could actually be done? Tom frowns. I don't see any reason why not, he says cautiously. I'm pretty sure the Vikings used that sort of thing. Do you think... If she knew exactly where the accelerant had been placed, then yeah, Stiles says. I think very much. I mean, it's kind of a wild theory, and I guess there wouldn't be any way to prove it, but it could be right. He pushes his hands through his hair. I'll run it past Peter, see what he thinks next time I talk to him. Okay, but be careful. I mean that. Stiles nods. I will be. Stiles has found over the weeks that Peter can't always quite wait to give him whatever information he's found. This can be a problem at the Hale House, but fortunately, Peter is proficient at texting. In fact, he's better at it than Derek is. Sometimes after dinner, while Stiles is watching anime with Cora or playing computer games with Derek, he and Peter will text back and forth about whatever they've found out since the last time they talked. Derek even asks Peter once, "Who are you texting?" with curiosity that suggests it's not a normal occurrence. And Peter just replies absently, "A friend," and doesn't say anything else about it. Stiles' phone is almost always busy, so it doesn't occur to anyone as odd that he's often texting at the same time as Peter. He leaves it on vibrate, so it's a little less conspicuous. Later, he thinks that he really should have known that someone would eventually figure it out. As it happens, it's Cora. It's late evening on a Saturday. Laura and Jonathan are on a date night. Erin is out with friends, while Talia is in her study, doing whatever Talia does. Stiles, Cora, and Derek are watching a movie, while Peter restlessly roams the house. Gradually, he settles down in the same room as the others, although he's clearly not paying any attention to the television. Suddenly, Cora hears Peter's phone and laughs. Are you two texting each other? You're sitting in the same room. Stiles wonders if he should try to fake it, but he knows his heartbeat has ramped up at being discovered. Yeah, we didn't want to bother you guys since you were watching the movie, and I'm never content unless I'm multitasking anyway, he adds, which is true. Do I even want to know what you two are talking about? Derek asks. Both curious and amused, he seems to be expecting something terribly esoteric and possibly academic. Nope, Stiles says. Let's see, Cora says, snatching his phone. Hey, Stiles protests, grabbing for it. It's too late. Cora's eyes go wide, and she looks between the two of them uncertainly. Seriously? She says. Derek senses automatically key up at Cora's shock. He doesn't like the way Stiles' heart rate kicks up another notch, or the scent that he's having trouble picking apart because it carries so many things. He glances at Peter, but can really only sense caution. At least there's no anger or fear. Derek reaches out and takes the phone from Cora, but hands it back to Stiles without looking at what's on the screen. What is it? Stiles' mouth moves uncertainly, and then Peter says quietly, Stiles is helping me look into circumstances surrounding the fire. Derek goes still. Then he nods once, somehow not surprised. He bites his lip, then turns to look at Stiles with forced calm. Do you think it was an accident? He's not trying to hold back anger, he just doesn't want to turn into a stuttering mess. After a moment, Stiles lets out a breath, meets his gaze, and says, No, I don't. Derek's hands come up to cover his face for a long moment or two, while he concentrates on taking deep breaths, but then he drops them. He's a little pale, but holding it together. He looks back and forth between Stiles and Peter once or twice, and then his gaze rests on Peter, eyes a little wide. Don't just hide over there. I can't handle that, okay? Peter had known all along, had been watching and looking out for them, and if it wasn't an accident, then Derek suddenly doesn't feel safe. Peter wordlessly stands up and moves over to join them on the sofa. Before he's taken more than a few steps, however, Talia appears in the doorway. Her face is pale and her lips are pressed into a thin line. "The fire," she says, her voice strained, "was an accident." Stiles meets her gaze, unflinching. "No," he says, "it wasn't." Talia takes a breath, clearly fighting for control, but her eyes are starting to glow red. "Stiles," she says, "I appreciate that you've probably been trying to help Peter make sense of all this, but he doesn't need your help encouraging his delusions. They're not delusions," Stiles says loudly, "and he'd probably appreciate it if you'd stop telling him that he's fucking crazy." Derek immediately huddles down under the anger of his alpha in the face of the worst topic ever. But his hand also creeps out and curls around Stiles. Talia only seems to be getting more furious. "Stiles, there was a police investigation, an arson investigator. There was no evidence that the fire was anything other than an electrical accident. I'm sorry that Peter had trouble dealing with that, but..." "So if I found evidence," Stiles interrupts loudly, "would you even be interested in hearing it?" "Whatever quote-unquote evidence you found," Talia retorts, her voice raising another notch, "I highly doubt it's more significant than what actual trained officers of the law discovered." Derek manages to look up then, remembering what Stiles had said about the investigation happening too fast. He looks up at his mother, or at least as much as he can, because the beta in him just can't meet the alpha's eyes, at least not when she isn't trying to drive his mate away. Then around to Peter, whose gaze he can meet. His uncle's face is completely blank, expressionless. Stiles, in contrast, looks like he's about to start foaming at the mouth with fury. "Oh, okay, I'll take that as a no," he says, "because surely no 17-year-old could have found anything useful. It's not like I'm the son of the sheriff, or like I know who did it." Derek's hands clench, and he drops Stiles like he's been burned when he feels the bones grind underneath his grip. "Who?" It's only a whisper. It's all he can manage, but he has to know. Even if his mother doesn't want to, if she doesn't want him to, he has to know. He keeps his gaze on Peter and tries not to think about her, even though he can smell her anger and pain just as much as he can smell Stiles. Peter is strangely muted, which bothers him. "Don't you dare," Talia grits out. "Don't you dare." "Kate Argent," Stiles says, his gaze never leaving Talia's. Her eyes flare crimson. "Her name is Kate Argent. She's a member of the WLO, and she's done it before." Derek's breathing picks up, goes shallow, and he makes a small animal whine before suddenly bolting up off the sofa and out of the room. Seconds later, they can hear him in the bathroom, losing his latest meal. Cora, pale underneath her summer tan, murmurs, "I'll go, check on him." "Go," Talia says shortly, "and don't come back in here. Stiles and I need to talk." "Oh, we do we?" Stiles asks, sarcasm heavily layering his voice. "Is that what you call the verbal ass-kicking you think you're about to hand to me? Because I've got news for you." "Stop," Talia says, with so much force in her voice that Stiles actually does for a few moments. "I am the alpha of this pack, and I will not be spoken to like that." "You may be the alpha," Stiles retorts, "but you're a crappy alpha. Because I'm standing here telling you that your pack is in danger, and you're refusing to listen to me because you don't like the fact that your son chose me for a mate. You know that I'm right. You've probably known this whole time that Peter wasn't crazy, but because you can't deal with that, you've spent the last 6 years telling him that he is. I could put all the evidence in the world in front of you, but you still wouldn't listen because you're too damn busy hiding under your bed and refusing to deal. Talia slaps him across the face, hard enough that Stiles takes several steps backwards and would have fallen if he hadn't fetched up against the sofa. Before her hand can come all the way back up to its starting position, Peter has her by the wrist. He's gone all the way to the first shift, his eyes glowing cold blue. "If you touch him again," he snarls, "I will tear out your throat." In the other room, Derek's head comes up from where it's been resting on Cora's shoulder. He swallows down a wave of nausea and hauls himself to his feet. "Stay here. Call Dad. Get him here. Don't call Laura," he adds. "The last thing they need is another alpha backbone in the house." He stumbles past her and back out into the chaos, picking up speed as he goes. But it's surprisingly non-chaotic when he gets there. Peter is still holding Talia's wrist, and she's staring at him with a mixture of surprise and hurt. "Sister, I have never blamed you for not wanting to believe me. I have never been angry with you over it. I understood why you did it, better than you did yourself, most likely. But I will not stand here while you try to keep me from solving the murder of my wife and child. Back down, Talia, or lose your pack." Derek doesn't look at either of them. He can't. He just stops directly in front of Stiles, his hand coming up to the cheek that's already turning red, but stopping just before he would touch it. "Stiles?" he asks quietly. He doesn't know what to say. He can't apologize for leaving, because he would have lost his lunch on the living room floor. "I'm okay," Stiles says, just as quietly. Talia and Peter are still having their staring contest. Then Talia drops her wrist. Her voice shaking with rage, she says, "Stiles, if you had any reason to think that the pack was in danger, you should have come directly to me." Stiles swallows and says, "What reason have you ever given me to trust you?" Derek looks down and away from Stiles, showing his throat, but says, "Stiles, it wasn't all her." His voice is quiet. "I told you, some of it was my fault." He's trying to decide if he should say more. He doesn't know what to do, because it's obvious that Stiles bringing this to Talia wouldn't have gone well. "You know what?" Stiles says. "You're right. I'm sure she doesn't hate me as much as it seems like at times. I know that she avoided me to prevent awkwardness for everyone. I know that she's just uncomfortable with me because I'm different from how she imagined your mate would be. And if any of that had ever, ever come out of her mouth instead of yours, maybe we wouldn't be having this discussion. But even though I've been a part of this pack for months, even though I've officially been your mate for weeks, I still have yet to hear a goddamned apology for what she said when we met. So I don't want to hear you making excuses for her, Derek. I really don't." At this, Derek just nods a little. He would really like to go back into the bathroom, finish throwing up, and then curl up in the cabinet under the sink until all the yelling was over. Just him and his fur and maybe a spare roll of toilet paper he could chew to death. He could just check out for a while. But it doesn't look like that's going to be happening. Talia takes a deep breath. "If you know who did it, why haven't you said anything?" "Because I can't prove it," Stiles says. "And I didn't want anyone in this family taking matters into their own hands and going to jail because I moved too fast." "If you can't prove it, then how do you even know it was her?" Talia asks, her voice taut. Stiles' eyes narrow. "You know what? I don't think I'll tell you." He takes a step back from her astonished outrage and says, "Derek, I'm going home. You can come with me if you want, or don't. It's not that I don't care, it's just I won't hold it against you either way. You do what you have to do right now to keep yourself together." Derek looks up at Stiles for a long moment as if trying to gauge the truth in that. And then he nods and reaches out to Stiles, laying his palm against the teenager's cheek long enough to pull the pain out of it. Then he leans forward and kisses Stiles on the forehead, turns away, and is already shifting to his fur, shimmying out of his clothes as he does it. He's bolting out of the room bare moments later. Silence reigns in the living room for a few moments before Stiles turns to Peter and says, "I'll follow up on what we talked about and call you tomorrow." Peter nods with due gravity and says, "Good night then, Stiles." Stiles turns and walks out of the house without another word. He passes Aaron on his way in. The werewolf comes in, confused and flustered, clearly with no idea of what's going on. "What?" he says, seeing Peter and Talia standing in the living room. "If you'll excuse me," Peter murmurs, and heads towards the back door. Aaron surveys the nearly empty room, looks at the way his wife is trembling, her fists clenched by her sides. "Why does it smell like World War III in here? And where's Derek?" he adds, because he can't think of a reason that Derek wouldn't be present for Stiles' departure. Talia looks up at him, and tears spill from her eyes and down her cheeks. Derek is in the bathroom, I think. I have to go. Please, just give me a few minutes alone." With that, she turns on her heel and heads up the stairs.